Good evening, one and all, and welcome to our Wednesday evening church service on the 29th of March, 2017, very last Wednesday of this month. Praise God for His merciful kindness, His tender love to each one of us, and praise Him that He's in control of all things, and there's nothing that we need to worry about. So good evening, one and all, and for those on the other side of the world, good morning to you. And welcome also to those that are listening on the phone and those to the recording. I appreciate you choosing to join with us tonight. Our opening song is In Times Like These. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, and be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, and be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And it is a great surety, assurance, and comfort to know that in times like these, we have Jesus Christ to lean on, to stand on, and to be in union and yoke with as each day passes. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads for opening prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you for being our God, the Almighty, the one that we can come to the throne of grace in any time of need and receive your answer to our petition and prayer through Jesus Christ. We meet here in the name of Jesus, your Son, and we ask that thy presence will be with us And we thank you, Father, for being here and taking control of this meeting and of every yielding heart. We pray, dear Savior, that thy presence will be here as well. And may we have the darkness in our hearts removed and replaced with the bright beams of your righteousness and truth. Please take control of our hearts and let us see the truth in crystal clarity tonight. And thank you for being here. We also pray, dear Spirit, that your presence will be here to lead and guide us into all truth, to quicken our understanding, and please help us to behold wondrous things out of the Word of Life tonight. So we thank you, dear Godhead, for being here in our midst. Please also be with our church family. Please continue to lead and guide them into all truth. Please help us to draw closer together in union with thee and with one another. And I pray, dear Father, that you will hear and answer the prayers and requests and petitions of thy people all around the world, especially for those that are requesting healing of mind, healing of body, or healing of soul. And thank you so much for being our great physician, dear Savior, and providing such relief and healing. So we thank you for being here. Please also be with our dear sister Rose and brother Joshua and any others who are afflicted with the cold or the flu. And please bring them back together with us quickly in abundant health. So thank you so much for hearing and answering this prayer according to thy perfect will and timing. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, welcome, dear ones. And we're continuing in our study book of Romans. And we're in chapter 12 and verse 14. Let me get there. Chapter 12 and verse 14, down towards the bottom. Last time we were discussing the different types of gifts, the different types of talents and grace that the Holy Spirit has given to the different believers making up the body of Christ. And some of these gifts deal with areas that we may have just taken for granted are kindnesses, but not necessarily gifts. And some of these were the gift of prophecy. Another was the gift of ministry. Another was the gift of teaching, exhortation, giving. Ruling is another. Mercy is another gift. So some of these, like mercy, leadership or ruling, and giving of ourselves, our time, possessions, etc., are considered gifts that the Holy Spirit awakens in the heart and brings to fruition, brings to a manifestation in the life. So if you thought that you never had a gift of any worth from the Spirit, now you know that it means more than just the ability to speak, to give a sermon. It means more than something that you can do with your hands. There's a whole lot more that can qualify as gifts from the Spirit than what we thought. So regardless of how many gifts we have, whether it's one or a whole lot, we're to abhor that which is evil. Stay away from pride. We're to cleave to that which is good, and we're to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, because we're all part of the family of God through Christ. We're to rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Again, these are all parts of the gifts that we can receive from the Spirit. Or in other words, they're latent within our heart and are awakened by the Spirit when we become part of the body of Christ. And now we pick it up at verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Now, one thing I've noticed in the scriptures is when something is repeated twice, it means that we're to pay attention to it. I mean, we're to pay attention to everything in the scriptures, but especially when it's mentioned more than once, we're to really understand it, to take note of it. So we're going to have people that persecute us, and some persecution comes for no other reason than we've chosen to follow the truth. Not because we've done anything against the people persecuting us, but just because they're the agents of Satan and their design is to follow his will in persecuting the followers of Christ, because the devil hates Christ and thus he hates all of his followers. So when persecution comes to us, how are we to respond? The Bible says, bless them. Bless and curse them not. So when they persecute you, you're not to turn around and say, oh, you miserable person. We're not to curse them. May God cast his thunderbolts of wrath upon you. But we're to bless them instead. May God open your eyes by sending you the Holy Spirit. We're not to say Godspeed, which means I agree with everything you're doing and add my consent to it, because that would make us partaker of their evil deeds. But we're to bless them by relaying to them that God may open their eyes to understand the truth, and not curse them to hellfire, which we know is just the grave, and then ultimately, after the second resurrection, the lake of fire. But there's going to be that temptation that our enemies that do us wrong, there's going to be that temptation to respond back, to retaliate, to seek to do them harm because they did us or our loved ones harm. And we're to resist that temptation and avoid cursing them, but instead to bless them. And so you can see that that takes a lot of strength, a lot of internal composure to be able to bless someone who's persecuting you. Those that put Christ on the cross, he didn't curse them. He didn't berate them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In other words, he was pronouncing a blessing upon them. And we're to do the same. But that takes more than human power to be able to bless your persecutors. It takes divine power, which we don't have. We have to go to Christ, who is divine, in order to find that power to keep our emotions, our feelings, our passions in check. which will enable us to bless our persecutors instead of cursing them. It will allow us to leave them in the hands of God instead of taking them in our own hands and retaliating against them. It takes divine power. So if you're not connected with Christ, there's no way that you're going to be able to bless your persecutors. There's no way you're going to be able to avoid retaliating or seeking revenge or getting even with them. Amen. It takes God indeed. And amen, especially when a rude driver cuts you off on the road. And sometimes our passions come up so quickly that our mouth begins to rattle off a whole bunch of words before we recognize what's taking place. And that's where we need to recognize the steps involved that finally lead to a tirade of words. It all begins with steps. And if we could recognize the beginning step, then that will help us to flee to Jesus so that we don't continue on with that downward pathway. Amen, that's true. Some will try to kill you on purpose. But we serve a mighty God who's able to deliver us even from the flame of fire that's heated 7 times hotter than it was normally used to. So our God can do all things. And as long as we're not being presumptuous or purposely putting ourselves in harm's way, then we can depend upon His protection because of His love. Continuing, verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Now, it's somewhat easy to be happy with those who are happy. But Paul continues and says, and weep with them that weep. So this shows that we're to have an empathy, a closeness, an affection for one another that is deep. Not something that's just on the surface, but something that touches the heart, so that when our brothers or sisters are sorrowful and weeping, our love for them is touched and we empathize with their sorrow to the point that we also weep with them because they are hurting. Amen. We need to value others more than ourselves, or at least the same as ourselves. So rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Now it's interesting. Christ knew that Lazarus was dead. Christ also knew that he was going to resurrect him back to life. But as he was going to the grave, the people around him were weeping. And that sorrow touched a chord in the heart of Christ. And even though he knew what was going to take place, that Lazarus was going to be raised back to life and there really was no cause to weep, yet he wept along with those that were weeping. That shows you that our Savior is not a pompous God who doesn't feel in harmony and in sequence with humanity. But he is so closely connected with us, not only by him being human like us, but him having the empathy and the sympathy, the feelings with us. That he weeps with those who weep. And we need to do the same. Verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. So we're not to have favorites, if you will. We're to have the same mind one to another. If we're all brothers and sisters, then we need to treat one another as a true brother or true sister. And that can be very difficult. We were talking a while back about there being 12 different major types of characters, 12 different major characteristics that make up the human psyche. And some characters are more on the rough side. Some characters are more on the pliant side. Some characters are more frugal. Some are more spendy. Amen. Just like the 12 tribes of Israel. So as there's 12 different types of characteristics that any one human being can fall in, then there's going to be conflicts, personality clashes among people that make up the body of Christ. But just because there may be personality conflicts and clashes doesn't mean that we're to look at those other individuals that sort of rub us the wrong way as not really being a true brother or sister in Christ. We're to look at them as being a true brother or sister in Christ, even though we have problems with them at times. How many problems have we caused God? Quite a few. Did God cast us away because we caused him problems, because we're difficult to get along with? Not at all. In fact, he came closer to us by sending us his son to redeem us. So if anything, those who cause us problems, we should expend more love and consideration towards, because God has done the same thing with you and me. So we're to be of the same mind one toward another. We're not to play favorites. We're not to have a clique of a few individuals that we devote our time with to the exclusion of all the other individuals that are of the same faith. We're not to follow the example of Peter when he was among the Gentiles and then his Jewish brethren showed up. He went and excluded himself from the Gentiles so he could spend all his time with his Jewish friends. We're not to do that. If we're all in Christ Jesus, then we're all on an equal basis of importance. There's to be no respect of persons among us. We're to treat one another on an equal basis of importance. As God doesn't respect people, we're not to respect people. As God doesn't have favorites, we're not to have favorites. Those who cause us problems among our brothers and sisters, we're not to try and avoid, but we're to actually spend more time trying to work with them, to show them that we care and love them. If we have individuals in our midst that we give a sigh of relief when they don't come to church, or we avoid when they do come to church, then that shows us we're not of the same mind toward them as we are toward others. That shows us that there's a problem with us. And it's only by fleeing to Christ and claiming the promises of His help, renewing a right spirit within us, that we're going to be able to follow this verse, to be of the same mind one toward another. Continuing. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. So if someone comes in our midst that's dressed in a three-piece suit, and then there's another individual that comes in our midst that's dressed in blue jeans and maybe a good-looking shirt or something, we're not to spend more attention with the man of the three-piece suit than we are with the man in the more common garb. In fact, we're to condescend. We're to lower ourselves in our own estimation so that we spend time with those that are more common in attire, in mental faculties, in whatever position it may be. If a doctor comes in our midst versus a mechanic, we're not to play favorites. The doctor and the mechanic are equal with one another in Christ, and thus they should be equal with us as well. Continuing, Paul says, be not wise in your own conceit. Don't deceive yourself. Don't believe that you can play favorites and still have God's approval. So we're to be kindly affectioned one to another as brothers and sisters, and that is regardless of who they may be. If Trump, President Trump, walks into, well, here on Online Home Church, you can't walk in. If President Trump joins our fellowship here, and then another individual from the poorhouse joins our fellowship, we're to greet them on the same equal basis. There's to be no favorites. We're not to mind high things, but especially we're to condescend to men of low estate.
Good night, everyone. Yeah, that's a good topic because the Bible tells us that God look at He don't look on the outside, but He look on the heart. So it goes by that. And there have people that do look down on another person when they one come with a suit and the other one don't come with regular clothes. But you have to remember, you don't know how they live. You don't know how they get their clothes. And right there you're judging because, and you don't even know the person, but you just look at the attire. But I thank God that God looks on the heart.
Amen, and that's a good point. And also, we're not to go the other way. You look at rich people becoming part of the church, and a lot of times they have quite a few friends because they're very rich. And the poor are excluded. And then at other times, you have the rich excluded because they're rich, and you figure that they're going to be very hard-hearted and greedy and just not worth spending the time to reach out to. But the poor, on the other hand, they feel their need. And so you may make many more converts spending your time with the poor. So in one way, we're not to play favorites by putting our attention to the rich to the exclusion of the poor, and then vice versa, we're not to ignore the rich and spend all our time with the poor. We're to be of the same mind one to another, whether rich or poor, whether free or bond, whether male or female, regardless of color, regardless of caste, regardless of position in society, regardless of job description. We're to sow beside all waters the gospel seed of truth. We're to cast the bread of life on all peoples. And the Holy Spirit is working on hearts, preparing them, regardless of who they are. So just as we're not to exclude anyone in our midst, so we're not to exclude anyone in our witnessing. And praise God for not excluding us, even though we were very difficult with him at times. Praise him for his love. Amen. That's true. Another comment is, all humans have the same need, and that is love. So then love is the drawing factor that leads them to Christ. The opposite is hate. Hate would be the drawing factor that leads them to Satan. So then if people visit our church and they see that some members hate one another, even though they don't say they hate one another, they reveal it in their actions, then where is that example leading that visitor? Is it leading them to God? Not at all. It's leading them to Satan, who's the author of hate. So that's why within the family of God, there's to be love. Because God is love. And if there's not love being manifested in our midst, then there's neutrality or even outright hatred. So Paul here is spending a whole bunch of verses showing us how we're to treat one another. And it's because the devil is spending a whole lot of time working upon hearts so that we mistreat one another. So may we go over these verses ourselves, spend time examining our hearts by these verses, and see where we are. Are we kindly affectioned one to another? Do we prefer or put the other ahead of ourselves? Are we slothful in business? Are we fervent in spirit? Are we serving the Lord? Are we rejoicing in hope? Are we patient in tribulation? Do we bless them that persecute us? Do we weep with those who weep? Are we of the same mind one to another? Let us spend time examining ourselves, whether we're in the faith, and any weak points we see, let us repent of these. Let us plead for Christ to wash us, to cleanse us, to purify us from these, and then to grant us his grace and strength to change and become one of these. All things are possible to those who believe and who are connected with Christ. And this is my prayer. A question in the room says, I'm curious about your thoughts how when David hated his enemies. The hatred came in because of sin. And there is nothing wrong with hating sin. And so when you come to the aspect of hating your enemies, and Christ says to love those who you consider your enemies, I guess it deals with whether those enemies have crossed the line of probation versus still having a chance at being saved. There's nothing wrong with hating the devil. His probation's closed. There's no way he can be saved. And he's only bent on trying to murder individuals. So loving him isn't going to change his heart. But if you do not know that someone's probation is closed, then the safest is to show love to them. And you don't have to go up and hug them to show your love for them. When they persecute you and you don't persecute them back, you are showing them love. Amen. Praying for them is another aspect of showing love for them. So they may be your enemies. You may hate what they're doing to you. But as long as their probation is not yet closed, then I would advise avoiding hating them and being very safe in manifesting love for them. Keeping the last six commandments. Not stealing from them, not envying them, not retaliating against them, not trying to kill them, whether literally or in your mind, is showing them love. And that's always the safest course. Are there any other comments to this question? Please feel free, dear ones.
I always think about when you've been hurt so bad and you just want karma to come and, you know, like what goes around comes around and that kind of thing. God says the way to handle that is to realize that, well, he says vengeance is his, not ours. So we need to manifest that love by praying for them and not retaliating and not letting the hurt feelings and the hatred color the way we live. Give it to God. Let him deal with it.
Amen, and that's an excellent point. The scriptures say that we're to rest in his love. when you're all upset and the only thing you can think about is how so-and-so did this to you and how dare they and how it affected you and how it hurt so deep and so on, there's no way that you can rest when you're dwelling on that negative subject. But if you give it to God, recognizing that He's in control, recognizing that He has a thousand different ways of reaching the heart of individuals to let them know that they've done wrong, and you leave it with Him, He has a thousand different ways. You don't have a single way. Leave it with Him and let Him take care of it. Then you can rest in His love. God is a defender of His people. If you recognize He loves you, then you also recognize He will defend you because of His love for you. So then you can rest in His love for you, knowing that the perfect outcome will occur in His timing. That means you have to be patient in tribulation, not become impatient because the tribulation is continuing. Not to become impatient because God hasn't yet dealt with the tribulators. But be patient, resting in God's love. And then you can be truly happy, even though your persecutors are not yet punished, or your persecutors are still persecuting. You can still be joyful because you're...
That's very true. You learn that by experience, by your Christian walk, because as more as you start reading the Word of God and by your experience, and you learn that Jesus loves you no matter what, then whatever it is that bothering you or stressing you, it don't bother you anymore because God fills you up. And I don't know if anybody else had that experience. So I had experience that, and not a long time lately. It's like I'm starting to experience that, and it's so comforting that even though you know that God loves you.
Amen, sister. I had an experience some years ago where my boss at work was making life miserable for me. And I didn't retaliate or anything, but I remembered a verse in the Bible, and I agree with Sister Jean. It says to heap coals of fire on their head. And this boss and his wife were expecting their first child. So I took it upon myself to start a collection for a little silver cup for the baby to show our love for the new child coming into the world. And when he found out who was the one that started it, he couldn't believe it. And a lot of the other people said, why would you do that when he's treated you so mean? But there's a blessing in that. God says there is a blessing, and it caused people to ask why and gave an opportunity to bring out that scripture in the Bible.
Amen. Amen. And that's actually a scripture psalm. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. That's how you show love, not retaliate.
I just want to say something to Mrs. Stone. I know that when you do things like that, the glory go to God, because it's not normal. It's like, it's not normal for them to see, to do that. And then when they ask questions, then you could have a witness, of the love of Jesus. So.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, if you retaliate and treat them as bad as they treated you, that's not going to win them to God. That's not going to change their heart. They're only going to feel themselves justified in what they did. But when you show a completely opposite example, that's going to get them curious. It's not going to be what they expect. They expect to be treated like people of the world have treated them all their lives. But when you respond in a completely opposite direction from what they're expecting, that causes them to think. And that also opens the door for the Spirit to convict.
I have to say I was blessed. God really did bless me, because the atmosphere changed dramatically after that happened.
There's a request for the song, But We Know Not the Hour. And I'm sorry, sister, I don't have that particular hymn in our list. I think I know the first verse, though, so let me try it. We know not the hour of our Master's appearing, yet signs all foretell that the moment is nearing. When he shall return, every omen discerning, but we know not the hour. He will come. Let us watch and be ready. He will come. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He will come in the clouds of his Father's bright glory. But we know not the hour. Amen. That is a beautiful hymn. And I've got it on my to-do list to add that to our hymn list. So we'll get it in the room here shortly, dear sister. But that's the only verse that I can really remember without singing a sentence and then humming the rest of it until the chorus. Well, dear ones, are there any other thoughts, any comments or questions before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please feel free. Well, let us please bow our heads, and whoever would like to lead out in prayer, please feel free.
Thank you, dear Lord, for giving us these words of how to live in this world and how to be happy. And thank you for this ministry that we can tune in and become brothers and sisters one with another, even though some of us have not seen each other. We don't know what each other looks like, but that doesn't matter, because we can see each other's hearts. And help us to be strong and to lean on you when trials and tribulations come along, which they will. And just to remember that when someone is treating us bad, they are hurting. And we want to try to help get rid of that hurt any way we can. Forgive us when we've failed. And keep guiding us and teaching us. And thank you for your blessings, dear Lord. Amen.
Precious Father in heaven, we thank you for thy merciful kindness and for thy great love manifested to each one of us. Father, please fill our hearts with thy love and let your love become so full and complete that it crowds out and separates from us hatred, revenge. Please rid us of a vindictive spirit. And please help us to look to the Savior at all times, under any circumstances, especially when we're in tribulation or being persecuted. Help us to look up and not look down. And thank you so much for being there for us in every and any time of need. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. Amen. Praise God for his love and not rewarding us according to our evil deeds, but continuing to lead and guide us upward. And if he does punish us, it's less than what we deserve. All because he doesn't want to destroy, but to heal. Well, Dermot, is there any other thoughts, any other comments, any other questions or testimonies? Please feel free. Well, may God bless dear ones, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you again on this Friday evening and then, of course, on the Sabbath. Keep looking up, and we love and are praying for you all in Christ Jesus. And thank you so much for your love and prayers for us as well. I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. I delight to do thy will, O my God. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalms 40, verse 8. So let God's law be written in your heart, and you will indeed delight to do his will. So may God bless dear ones until we meet again.